Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
If you have your Bibles with you today, you can turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6 through 11. When they came, he looked upon Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." And he said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of the oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. You pray with me. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation and the inspiration in all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We are continuing in our sweep of the grand story of the scriptures of the Bible, beginning with Genesis through Revelation. And we continue in the grand story. We started with Genesis and creation in the fall. We moved to Abraham and the covenant. From there we went to Moses and the Exodus. From there we went to learning more deeply about the law and the Torah of the Jews. Last week we entered the promised land with the conquest and the settlement and the story of Ruth. Today, our story continues in the grand sweep of the great story of the Bible. King David is the centerpiece for our thought and message today. But actually, the sermon speaks to the grand story, the big story that weaves in and out through all of Scripture. Even though the Bible is a book of books, written by hundreds of individual authors inspired by God, over an extended period of time, thousands of years, still within it is interwoven intricately the grand salvation narrative of God. Now that's a grand event. And it's a big topic for one sermon. Let me just give you a little piece. Now I introduced to you today this Hebrew word, Shavuot. What it means is a festival. It's a Jewish festival. It is the spring festival celebrating the barley harvest. To this day, Jews, on this day of days, gather together to celebrate Shavuot. During this day, they read the Ten Commandments. They read the story of Ruth. They celebrate the birth and the death of King David. On this day, on the spring festival of the barley harvest at Shavuot. Now, as we continue, part of the message today includes numbers. And so let me share with you this number. In the Bible, this is a holy number. Some of you may right off the bat understand the holiness of seven within the scriptures. 6 days thou shalt labor, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest. Sabbath day. Sabbath day in the scriptures from beginning to end is a critically holy day. It is given by God to rest on Sabbath day. On the seventh day, thou shalt do no labor. Thou shalt rest. Not only you personally, but your whole family rests. Your creation itself rests. Everything is at rest for renewal, so it can begin again on the next day. The next day is also a powerful day in scriptures, but it's a little more subtle. It's 7 plus 1. Is it a start again of the first day of the week, or is it the 8th day of the week? The day after Sabbath is the day of new creation. For you and me, the day after Sabbath is Sunday, the Lord's Day. In our particular story in history, as Christians of the Christian faith, the Lord's Day is Resurrection Day. The day after Passover Sabbath, Resurrection Day. Sunday. 7 plus 1. So I take you back to the Exodus. 50 days after the children of Israel are set free from the bondage of slavery in Egypt, they travel through the wilderness. On the 50th day, they arrive at Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. And there they discover Mount Sinai is wrapped in smoke because of the Lord has descended upon it in fire. And the smoke went up like smoke from a kiln, while the whole mountain shook violently. Moses goes up on the mountain of fire. And there he spends 40 days and 40 nights, communing with God as God presents to him the law of the community. The law of God. Moses comes down with 2 tablets, the 10 commandments. But Moses was up there for 40 days. Not only did he get the 10 commandments, but he got other statutes as well of how the Jews were to order their life from that time forward until now. Part of what God told Moses was how to order your year, how to order your ritual life. And God said there's going to be several times in the year when you're going to gather together for special remembrances and thanksgivings. The first is the Passover Sabbath. Very important. On that day, you're going to remember what I did for you by setting you free from Egypt. When you gather together as family on Passover Sabbath, you're going to tell the story. You're going to reclaim who you are by telling the story of what God has done for you by liberating you from slavery in Egypt and to set you free. On the day after Passover, on that day, 7 plus 1, on the next day, it's going to be a festival. You can throw a party. Sabbath is over, you can throw a party. And it's the festival of first fruits. It's the festival that begins the barley harvest. Gather together. Thank God for the harvest that is about to begin and celebrate what God has done for you. Then, God says to Moses, there's another festival. Now, this one is you're going to count 7 Sabbaths from the Passover Sabbath. 7 Sabbaths, 7 times 7 is 49. On the next day after that Sabbath, plus 1, on the 50th day, On the 50th day, you shall present the first fruits of the harvest, of the complete harvest. It'll be a party. It's a jubilee day. It's a 50th day. Come and celebrate the end of the spring harvest. Shabbat. It goes on to say, remember when you are reaping the harvest of your fields, it's okay to be a little sloppy. Don't start at the edges. Start a little bit inside. And if bits of grain fall to the ground, don't stop and pick them up. Just leave them on the ground. So that those who are less fortunate, the poor and the alien, can come after you and glean from the fields. Now, those of you who were here last week heard the story of the book of Ruth. Gleaning was very important in that story. You remember, Naomi and Ruth leave the country of Moab to return to Naomi's hometown of Bethlehem. The story tells us specifically they arrive in Bethlehem on the day of the beginning of the barley harvest, first fruits. They spend part of the harvest gleaning from Boaz's field. Remember the story? By Shabbat, by the festival of 50, Boaz and Ruth are married. It's a celebration. So to this day, when our Jewish brothers and sisters gather for the festival of Shabbat, the Ten Commandments are read. The story of Ruth is read. Not just because of the story of the gleaning, but because how the book of Ruth ends. The very last line is, and Boaz was the father of Obed, and Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David, the king, the once and future great king of Israel. To this day you ask a Jew, when was the glorious day of Israel? And they will tell you, the glorious days of King David. The little shepherd boy who slew giants, who was a poet and sang songs, who was a great warrior, who was the one that established Jerusalem as the holy city of God and brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city and united all of the federation of the tribes into one single monarchy, and he was the king, King David the Great. If you read the story, David is introduced in the middle of 1 Samuel. There is a king already, King Saul, but King Saul is not working out well at all. He is a very disappointed king. And so the Lord comes to Samuel the judge and says, before, what I need for you to do now is you need to anoint a new king, because Saul is not going to be the king. I want you to go to the village of Bethlehem, and there you will find a man named Jesse. And among Jesse's sons, you will find the next king, and there you will appoint him. So Samuel reluctantly goes because he's scared King Saul will find out. But Samuel goes to Bethlehem. He finds Jesse. Present me your sons. Seven sons of Jesse pass by Samuel, and God says no to each one. God says, know this. You human beings, you look on the outside, but I look on the heart. All seven pass by. The Lord rejects them all. Samuel turns to Jesse and says, is this all? Jesse says, no. There is one more. He's the youngest and he's out in the field. Somebody has to take care of the sheep. Bring him here immediately, Samuel says. I'm not sitting down until he arrives. Seven plus one. David arrives. Samuel anoints the shepherd boy king of Israel and Judah, the United Kingdoms. And the Spirit of God comes upon him mightily. And he becomes King David the Great. Shabbat. The spring barley harvest. It's the day the Ten Commandments are read. It's the day the story of Ruth is read. It's the day they celebrate the birth and the death of King David. He died an old man, and he died on the festival of the barley harvest. Now we're going another 1,000 years in time. We're now coming to the New Testament. Jesus has taught, he has lived, he has been crucified, dead, and buried. Died on the Friday before the Passover Sabbath. He rose on the morning of the first fruits, Sunday, the Lord's Day. 50 days after the first fruits. Now there's a Greek influence in the land, and so there's another word now for this. It's Pentecost. 50 days. 50 is a jubilee number. 7 times 7 plus 1 is 50. 50 days. 50 days after first fruits. 50 days after the resurrection. All of the Jews are gathered in Jerusalem for the festival of Shabbat, Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost had come, suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house. Are you getting an image of Mount Sinai? Divided tongues of fire appeared among them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. They burst forth from the room where they were on that day into the dawn of a new glorious Lord's Day. People around them thought they were acting strange. They thought they were drunk. But no, we're not drunk. We are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And everybody began to hear in their own language the incredible mighty works of God. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, and a new power over him, begins to preach like he had never preached before. Fellow Israelites, I say to you confidently that our ancestor David, that he both died, he was buried, and his tomb is with us today. It's right here. He was born and he died, and his body is right here. And since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn an oath, had made a promise to him that he would put one of his descendants upon his throne. This Jesus, who lived and died and was buried, God raised. His tomb is not with us. He is not here. We are all witnesses to that, Peter says. And therefore, exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit that he has poured out on all that you see here. They all cry, all of the thousands who were gathered, and said, "What do we do? What do we do?" And Peter's response is, "Today, repent. Change. Turn around. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins might be forgiven. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you. And it's for your children. And for all those who are far away, and everyone whom the Lord God calls to him." We end with the sign of 3,000. Interesting number, 3,000. Let's go back to Mount Sinai, to the mountain of fire that Moses went up to receive the Ten Commandments and the law. He was up there 40 days, 40 nights. He comes down off the mountain carrying the two tablets of the law. And when he arrives, what does he see? All of Israel is surrounded, worshiping a golden calf idol. Now, God has already seen this. God has already known what they were doing. And he had sworn to Moses that he was going to annihilate them all. It's over. I'm done. And Moses negotiates and says, have mercy. And God says, I will have mercy. But not on them all. And so Moses goes down the mountain. He sees what's going on. He throws down the tablets and they shatter. The Lord will have justice, Moses says. And on that day, the sons of Levi did what Moses commanded, and 3,000 people fell to their death. Thousands of years later, now we're at Mount Zion in Jerusalem. Pentecost, Shavuot, celebrating the feast of the barley harvest. And the power of God descends upon the disciples, and the proclamation of God is shared, and the mighty works of God in Jesus Christ are proclaimed publicly for the first time, the resurrection of what God has done in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit has descended. Repent and be baptized. And so those who welcomed his message that day were baptized. 3,000 were added. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Day by day, by day, by day, until today. What does that mean? That means the grand narrative of God is not over. It continues. And you and I are in the story. We are a part of the grand narrative of God. We are a part of God's plan of salvation. Each one of us, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, take with us each and every day a heritage, a tradition, a legacy that is profound and transforming. And what I'm asking for you today is to claim it. It's yours. You're in it. You are a part of it. Treasure it. Hold it dear and close. Understand what it means that there are a long host of the faithful that have came before you and me, that have set the stage for you and me to continue to proclaim the gospel in the world, for the transformation of the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, hold fast to the story to which you are a part. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.